And now, Jalen and Jacoby.
He is Jalen Anthony Rose.
What up, doe?
I'm David Jacoby.
And on the cool check-in.
Together with Jalen Jacoby, what exactly is it that we do?
We give the people what they want.
I love it over Zoom. You get so hyped that the computer can't even handle your excitement and just drops out your voice during the people what they want. Now, one of the things we do to give the people what they want is record podcast exclusives every Tuesday and Thursday. No constraints of television, just real conversation between Jalen and myself and you if you call 9580-JALEN. And also our guests. What we do is we record the television segment that we have our guests on. And then in true Jalen Jacoby style, we record some podcasts with them, a little more relaxed. We ask questions that maybe they don't want us to ask on television. And here is our podcast exclusive content with Scary Terry Rozier. We always say we give the people what they want. Part of that is exclusive content with our guests. Today we have Terry Rozier with us, pod exclusive. This is not going to air on TV, Terry, so sometimes we ask grimier questions. I'm not going to lie. So you guys are now looking like seventh in the East, and it's early in the season, but we always say that success is a function of realistic expectations. What are your expectations for this regular season, Charlotte Hornets team?
We definitely want to get to the playoffs. We want to chase that. We got guys like Gordon Hayward that we just added this season, guys that know what it takes to be in the playoffs. So obviously we're trying to get there, but we're not trying to be a team that's just there and just say that we made it to the playoffs. We obviously trying to be a competing team in the playoffs. So, that's our goal. That's something that we try to preach, but we try to take it one day at a time, man. One day at a time. Tomorrow is more important down the line.
You guys are building something special, and it just so happens that it's playing out in the standings to me, because I can tell when teammates genuinely are rooting for each other or genuinely hype when somebody make a play. Y'all have that. What is it like to be a part of a team that actually cares about one another?
I tell people all the time, it's the locker room, man. When we in that locker room, we either talking stuff to one another, we cracking jokes, or we just talking about the game, and you can just tell like everybody is like this, and it shows out on that court, and it's just a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. You have a great locker room. You have guys that want to win, know what it takes. It's just a lot of fun, man. And we young, and like I said, we trying to get to the playoffs, so we trying to do whatever it takes right now, and we having a lot of fun doing it, and we trying to keep it going.
You mentioned guarding Steph Curry, but the Warriors are going to have their hands full when you play them, because last time you played the Warriors, that's right. You had 20 points in the fourth quarter and a game winner. Do you think you're going to get a little extra attention when you play the Warriors coming up?
I'm pretty sure, but I got my hands full. I got my hands full tomorrow. Obviously, Curry back, and I'm ready to take on full tasks, but we trying to come out and get the win, man. I ain't even worried about what happened last time. That's in the past, obviously, but I got my hands full, and we trying to come out on top.
So that terrific game winner that Jacoby's talking about, that night I was working, and I tried to get them to do a clip of Kawhi's dribbling left around the double team when he went all the way to the baseline, because to me, your play mirrored that in a lot of ways going left, as you made the game winner and the knock and the walk off. So what is it like for you to now be in a position where your squad looks to you in those clutch situations?
It's great. But I put a lot of work in, man. I put a lot of work in off season. So I feel like I deserve that. I earned that. I can look down to my teammates and my coaches, and I feel like they really trust me, with them big shots, as well as Gordon, a couple other guys on our team. So we never really looking at it's my turn to take a shot. We looking at the best shot for our team, and like I said, our teammates and our coaches do a great job of seeing what's available, and we just trying to keep it going, man. We just having a lot of fun.
So I want to talk to you.
I wasn't passing that. I wouldn't pass.
Yo, you wouldn't pass in that. That's what I would not pass. That's what I mean by Kawhi. Like, y'all exhausted the position. He would have went to half court. You almost went out of bounds.
Double team, triple team, or not. At some point, you just can't pass it. Like, nah, I ain't passing this one.
I want to talk to you about having fun because you put in so much work during the season, in the off season, and, you know, to be a successful young man, making the money that you're making. But they have these COVID protocols. You're on the road, can't leave the hotel room, can't go to a restaurant, can't have a guest. Like, how do you deal with that? Do you ever just look out the window and just be like, what's the point of being young and handsome and rich if you can't enjoy it?
Listen, Jacoby, I'm in Phoenix right now. I'm looking outside right now. It looks beautiful. But obviously the protocol, safety, that's first. And, you know, you just got to honor it, but I just think about, like, a lot of times my previous years in the league, man, you could just walk around and in a city like this, you miss it, obviously, but you got to take care of what's important. But being in cities like this, L.A., Miami, you know, you obviously want to walk around, have some fun, but you got to honor it.
I would put on full Hollywood makeup.
Phoenix my final season to do the exact same thing. I retired all year while they was paying me.
This is a beautiful city, man. It's one of my favorites. I already know what you mean.
Exactly. Do you ever just want to, like, dress up in a costume and walk the streets? Like, I would just, like, if I were you, I would just, like, dress up like a white woman and just walk around Phoenix.
Hey, that don't sound too bad.
Oh, you know what I want to ask you too? And you have a really strong body type for a basketball player. You said on IG that football was your first love. So did you play and what position?
What did I? Listen, I was cold. My mom still look at me to this day and was like, you know, you. I think you could have made it to the NFL too. She football. Like, she loved football, right? Obviously, but, you know, I was cold, Jalen. I'm trying to be humble right now. I was cold in football.
Yeah, like, tell MVP us.
Don't be humble.
For real.
MVP of the city type. I used to love Mike Vick. I used to think I was Vick. Couldn't nobody tell me I wasn't Vick. Obviously, I start playing running back. I used to reverse the field. Hey, I was cold. But I think God, we had better plans for me, and basketball worked out. But football, that was my first love. That's when I really started. Like, basketball. You told me basketball. I was like, basketball, what's that? What's any other sport? But I'm just glad it worked out for me, man. But football, that's my first love for sure.
there's definitely some dudes in Ohio just being like, man, you should have seen Terry Rozier. I had to tackle that dude. Like, there's definitely some people in Ohio your age be like, I played against Terry Rozier in football, and that was trouble.
Yeah, for sure.
I want to thank you so much for taking the time while you're on a road trip, joining us on Jalen Jacoby. Welcome to come back anytime. We are rooting for you every game.
Yes, indeed.
I appreciate y'all. Appreciate y'all, man.
Appreciate call the love, family.
I come back anytime, man. I come back anytime. Appreciate y'all.
Done. This your parking spot, dog. Anytime.
Say less. Appreciate y'all.
Jalen, before we move on, two things I want to mention. First, you can check out Stephen A's World streaming weekdays on ESPN Plus. You can also find the very best interviews from Stephen A's World available as a podcast every single Wednesday. Listen to that wherever you get your podcasts and watch that. Stephen A's World on ESPN Plus. And you can check out ESPN's newest podcast. It's called First Take, Her Take, hosted by Charlie Arnold, Kimberly Martin, and our girl, Chinee Agumake. On the latest episode, they're talking about podcast breakups, kids acting disrespectful, and being territorial with jersey numbers. Listen to First Take, Her Take wherever you get your podcasts. I want to thank Scary Terry for coming on. Jalen, it's just so refreshing, just to get inside the head of some of these guys, you know?
Absolutely, and I appreciated him taking us behind the curtain about his relationship with Michael Jordan and how when they signed him, sitting down with MJ in Vegas gave him confidence. It's one thing for somebody to tell you that they believe in. It's another thing when it's MJ. Mm.
Just imagine being Terry Rozier walking out of that room and just in the middle of the moment, you know, you're going back and forth with Michael Jordan and talking to him. It doesn't really settle in, but he's walking down the hallway after he leaves that room and gets in the elevator or whatever. And he's just like, man, Michael Jordan believes in me. And imagine being Michael Jordan leaving that room and being like, can I get a credit for $4 million? I got to gamble.
Exactly. He had him come straight to the casino.
Oh, so good. So, Mr. Rose, we have some updates on our comedy bracket. We've got some feedback from some of you. We want to hear from you about the comedy bracket. It's something we've had in the works for, I don't know, a year and a half. We're actually going to debut it. We're chiseling down our brackets, and we need your help. So we need you to call 985-80-JALEN. We want to hear your feedback. But before we get to that, we've got some things we need to discuss in the world of sports. And we start with some things that started recently. Now, Mr. Rose, we have the Spurs and the Thunder. And I don't know if you noticed, and Lu Dort is being celebrated today, right? Because he put him in the torture chamber and he hit the big shot. But you know, our guy was the real story for the Thunder. What was the real story from that game for the Thunder?
S-G-A. Remember, he was a member of the Clippers, and Jalen and Jacoby was like, hey, you know what? We're going to look deeper into the roster. And yo, that dude right there is kind of long.
Mm-hmm.
Arms, his little legs, he's athletic, he can hit three fast, like he can ball. And then all of a sudden, when you're starting to trade big names, he got moved. He was a part of it. Mm-hmm. He left the Clippers, and now all of a sudden he's with OKC, no CP3, and he gets opportunities like he had last night, because while Lu Dort was wide open for that three, The person that kept him in that game and scored over 40 was SGA.
Now, Jalen, there is a story going around in the news in the world of sports today that has to do with ethics and journalism and strip clubs. And you know I wanted to put it on the TV show, but I know better. The executives watch the television show, and they don't want to see anybody talking about player media relations and strip clubs and any of that on ESPN. But that's why we have podcast exclusive content. We all know who Matthew Judon is. He had a pretty, on his standards, it was an okay year under the tag for the Ravens. And a gentleman by the name of Jameson Hensley, one of our colleagues that works for ESPN.com. And, Jameson Hensley might have reported about an offer that Judon turned down from the Ravens. And you know how this happens when you're an athlete and the news comes out that you turned down an offer, and then the fan base feels like it was a fair offer. So maybe the fan base feels a certain way about your commitment to the team, and it could be a bad look for you. So obviously Judon felt a certain way, and he felt that that was not accurately reported. So he said that, and then Hensley sort of doubled down and said, no, this is, I've sourced this, and you know, this has all been through the powers that be at the news desk. We all know how that process works. So then Mr. Judon said, I'm waiting for your ESPN sourced apology, or I'm leaking these photos I got with you in the strip club. Woof. There's a lot there, Mr. Rose. There's a lot there. When you hear all of this, just offer me your thoughts, because I cannot think of a better person in all of, not just sports media, in all of media, not just of all media, of all human beings above ground, with blood pumping through their hearts,
exactly,
to offer perspective on this topic.
Exactly.
The man, Jalen Anthony Rose. So I'm just going to give you the floor.
A few things. Anybody taking pictures in a strip club should be arrested.
No, that should be a federal offense. Like, that's federal. That's federal prison.
Right. Like, and here's why. There's a million reasons, but first and foremost, to protect the dancers, and also the privacy of the other patrons at what's called a gentleman's club. Right? So that's first and foremost. When I heard you say that he might release the pictures, the first thing that came to mind was, A, were they there together and the football player took the pictures? Or B, did the football player get somebody to give him the pictures?
Preach.
About the media person?
My number one thought as well. Did Judon take the pictures? Did they go together? Or did Judon find out about the pictures from like someone who knew someone who knew someone who knew someone who knew someone who had the pictures?
Correct. So that's the second thing. The other thing is, while we're still waiting on answers like that, Judon, you're being way too petty, taking this way too serious, because we don't know the personal dynamics of the reporters' relationships. Is he single? Is he married?
Oh, he is married. That was part of the story.
Was it a bachelor party?
Oh, no, he's married. He's married, and he said, and before Judon threatened about the strip club photos, he said something about him cheating on his wife, which I think is related. So he is married. But this is, you know, it is, he brought a bazooka to a gunfight.
Correct. And here's the thing. And by the way, for those who haven't known, I'm going to whisper this. Get closer to the speaker. Get closer. All type of men go to strip clubs. Did you hear that? All type of men. Short, tall, black, white, jobless, professional, athletic, entertainer. Everybody. There are more strip clubs in your city, in your state, than colleges. Just think about that. Than colleges. And so, Judon, if your picture is probably of him like getting a dance or talking to a stripper, then that's more of a reflection of you if you release it than of him when it gets released. Because let me teach you a lesson. All of us gonna judge you. He only got an answer to one person, his wife. You follow me there?
Yeah, that's a good point.
All of us gonna judge you. Like his teammates, what do you think Lamar Jackson? Lamar Jackson might not talk to him the rest of the season.
Yeah, I just feel like it's just like it's how do I explain it? It's just like
you got a picture of a dude in
that currency. We don't deal in that currency. Because once you start opening up that, it's, you know what happened? When my wife came home from her bachelorette party, I didn't ask any questions. Was I curious about what happened? Yes. Did I ask questions? No. Do you know why? Because I didn't want her to ask me any questions. And again, all I did was get some lap dances, like nothing crazy. But it's just like, you know what? Like, let's just not start trading in that currency. Let's not bring the level of engagement to that. Because now you're saying, hey, media, I'm going to expose you for your off-wax, non-professional behavior. Well, guess what media can do? Media can do the same.
David Dowling Jacoby.
Yes, sir.
Uh-oh, as somebody.
My middle name.
That's been doing this like 25 years. You've been on every side of this game. Jalen Anthony Rose, along with playing, I've been on every side of this game. And players know, the people that really follow the game intimately and are a part of the foxhole, we only say 25% of what we really know. I hope Mr. Judon knows that.
Yeah, good point.
I hope he knows that. Trust me, there has actually been a reporter that saw an athlete cheating on their significant other before.
No!
But you know what that writer didn't do? Write about it in the paper the next day or talk about it on a talk show. Because there's certain ethics of things that only should get discussed if it relates to you wearing a uniform in the game or it affects your professional responsibilities to the team. How you like to let your hair down and have fun, that's on you. And Mr. Judon, if you go down that path, I'm pretty sure that media member who not only has his own ability to dig deeper into stories and stuff, I'm pretty sure he has other friends that are probably going to now all be trying to dig against stuff about you. And you don't want that, dog. Get your money. Let him live. If he's cheating on his wife, mind your business and focus on getting them sacks back up and then they would have gave you that bread that you earned. You know how much I love the Ravens D, and you know Humphrey, my guy.
Yeah.
Like, they needed him to play better last year, actually. To be honest with you.
They did. I expected more from him, to be honest with you. And they went out and got Ngakoue to kind of, like, bolster that as well. And
exactly.
Here's another thing I want to say, Jalen, is because, you know, I'm a washed media white dude. So when I see a conflict between a young, good-looking, rich African-American athlete and a washed media white dude, I empathize more with the washed media white dude. And in this, if I'm him, I'm like, you ain't got to release the pictures, dog. You don't have to release the pictures. You already did the damage. Because I know if this was me and I came home and some athlete was out there saying Jacoby cheated on his wife, I'm going to release the pictures. You don't even need to release the pictures. Damage is done. Joey Jacoby's got, she's got some questions for me when I get home. The damage is done. The pictures might not even exist. James is still in trouble when he gets home. I know that for sure.
If it happens on wax, if it has to do with, I've been doing this for over 20 years on TV, and I've covered the NBA finals every season in person except this one. Those are 7-game series. Do you think I will be on television saying, well, I know why Jacoby was 2-for-10 last night. I know why Jacoby 2-for-10 today, but you should see this bad one he had dancing for him last night.
That's not good business.
Not good business. You don't do that.
But I am curious if they were there together. You know? Because they have, I think this, I don't have all the information from front of me because you're listening to Jalen Jacoby. We don't really do extensive preparation or research for this program. But I know he covers the Ravens. So, like, kind of.
And
like,
we don't have a researcher either.
That's an excuse. We haven't had one for 10 years.
I'm just saying.
but you're giving all of the facts. I feel like they know each other, and I'm curious if they were in the same establishment at the same time. But you know what? I hope that we never find out, because I kind of hope this story just fizzles out and nothing more comes of it, because we don't.
I believe it will, because I'm telling you, Ngakoue or the player.
That was Judon. Yep.
Judon, I'm sorry. He can't win this. Remember, he has an audience of millions. The reporter has an audience of one. And if the other players in the league see you doing stuff like, talk about stop snitching. Oh my God. Oh my God. Like, you, did you have feelings for the person that he was talking to? Like, did you think, like Jacoby just said, you was the young, handsome, rich guy and they was going to give you all of the attention, and all of a sudden he came and snatched one from you? Like, what happened, dog?
And who's taking the pictures? Right. Who took their phone out to take the pictures in the first place? How does that even exist?
Well, right. And he's not famous. That's the other thing. So that sounds like a setup.
We will we'll update you as more information comes out. But, Jalen, there's something that's happening in the NBA that's just not big enough news to make the TV show that I really want to discuss in the podcast.
Don't you like that we could do our whole show the rest of the year on that topic? We could do every show on that topic.
Oh, yeah.
And come just with different angles.
Constantly updating it. Oh, yeah. Jalen, I don't know if you noticed, but like, remember when the Rockets were like a little fun story, and they had Christian Wood and John Wall, and they got rid of Harden, and they were kind of coming together. And Christian Wood got hurt, and now not only can't they win a game, they can't even compete. Like, I expected a lot more from this team.
And me too.
They're now sitting at 11-19, never going to make the playoffs. They got to start thinking about, do they trade Eric Gordon? Do they trade PJ Tucker? I'm asking you those questions. Like, is it, if you're Raph Stone and you run the Rockets, you ain't making the playoffs. This, you have a roster that you thought could compete, not competing. Christian Wood's injury had something to do with that. So do you trade Gordon or Tucker?
Right. So thank you for asking me this on the pod, not the TV show. It's highly likely that both of those guys will Tucker and Gordon get moved.
I think so too.
So don't be surprised when it happens. It's a high probability that it's going to take place. Just a matter of time. But you said the key is that Christian Wood's been injured.
Yep.
I mean, like, that's your big offseason free agent acquisition that was getting 20 plus, 10 plus, a couple of blocks. When he ain't in there, it's going to be different. Look at the Lakers. They got LeBron. How do they look without AD and without Schroeder? So it's tough when I know in sports we want to give the greatest player, the best player, the leader, and all of that, all of the credit when things go well or the blame when things go bad, and rightfully so. But it's still a team sport. And you need all of those things to go in order to have everybody, to put everybody in position to maximize their games. Because you just said it. When they were healthy, they look good.
Mm-hmm.
When they're healthy, they look good. And to me, the main thing for this season is to see what happens with Oladipo. That, to me, is what they're only focused on right now. Just keep him or go. And so he might be a part of a trade also.
That's interesting. Because he is, his deal expires at the end of this year. And the reason to keep him would be you would have his bird rights and you could sort of like, you know, keep him around by offering more money than other teams.
If he, but if he wants to be there, if he doesn't mm-hmm. want to be there, you can't let him walk at the end of the year for nothing. So I'm putting him, as I button up the point, as you mentioned, Eric Gordon and Tucker, like Victor Oladipo's in that situation. So you have an all guy that was an all-star not playing. You got Christian Woods not playing. And yeah, y'all going to struggle.
Tucker's really an interesting piece to me because he is so unique. He can switch everything. He can guard. He can hit threes, especially corner threes. He's kind of a prototypical role player in the NBA right now, and there's a lot of teams that could use that. There's a lot of teams that could use that. So we'll see where he ends up.
And absolutely. I think they will.
They will end up making a trade. They will definitely end up making a trade. Jalen Rose, we have to work on our stand-up comedy bracket. Now, last time we read to you all of the people that we considered in the first round and then all of the people that were left out of the first round. And it's just a lot of names, a lot of variants of comedians. I'm going to take everybody behind the curtain. I sent you a text that I regret. I was like, should we just do black comedians? Should we narrow it down? Because, like, I know you don't know who Mitch Hedberg
like work to you.
Well, there's a lot of people that like Mitch Hedberg stuff. Like, he's just kind of like a niche underground comedian, like your favorite comedian kind of a guy.
It don't matter if I know.
That's the thing. I'm not saying you specifically, but I was thinking about our audience. And like, no, me too. Like Don Rickles. Like, I know Don Rickles. I know what his face looks like. I think he's funny. But I'm not going to sit here and act like I've seen three of his stand-up sets.
That's why we're going to have comedians come on. That's why we're going to have people who actually know.
Yeah,
and do it.
Like with the hip-hop groups, I felt very qualified. I felt like an expert. I felt like I knew. I felt like there was nobody better suited than us two to discuss the strengths and weaknesses of every member in there. But stand-up comedy is an art form has been going for a long time.
Yeah.
So I regret that. We're going to take on this project. But we need, like you said, we need help. We need help of comedians. We need help of people in our lives that we trust their taste from a diverse background of both genders. And we also need help from the people. So we asked you to call 985-80-JALEN and give us your thoughts on our comedy bracket. And guess what? You responded like you always do. So we're going to play a couple of voicemails on the comedy bracket on this podcast exclusive as we prepare for this project. Let's listen to the first one.
Your boy Love calling from Nashville. And I just heard the initial rundown of the comedian list. And I just have to say, there's no way we can have Tiffany Haddish on this list and not Monique. What? I love Tiffany Haddish. She is amazing. She's cool. But Monique is the OG, original queen of comedy. She got to be on the list. We can't Jimmy Butler Monique.
I mean, first of all, big shout to you. Thank you so much for calling. Second of all, I ain't going to act like I remember the entire list. I think Monique was on there somewhere. I really do. But if it was either Monique or Tiffany Haddish, I would go Monique.
No doubt.
If it was either Wanda Sykes or Tiffany Haddish, I would go with Wanda Sykes.
Absolutely. Same page. Tiffany Haddish, as you pointed out when we talked about this previously, I see her more as an actor than a stand-up comedian. Of course, she's done it and she's an industry veteran, but that ain't necessarily how she make her bones.
And not for nothing, if you sleep with Tiffany Haddish, she will tell everybody. Just so you know.
That too.
Just so you know.
That
just in case anybody listening is considering it.
I saw a comment with his common silhouette. I've seen common silhouette.
They're a power couple right now, right? That's going?
Yep. I believe so.
For her. Good for them. We always support power couples here on Jalen Jacoby, and we always love it when we hear from you. So call 985-80-JALEN. You can hit us with Soft Move, Boss Move, Cultural Regional, just questions about anything, relationships, professional, anything at all. Or if you have thoughts on this upcoming comedy bracket, and if you didn't listen to the last podcast exclusive, we are trying to come up with the bracket that will decide the greatest stand-up comedian of all time. All eras, all genders, all races. It's going to be a beast, but we're here to do the work, and we need your help. So we have another voicemail.
Yo, shout out to Rez the Ledge. I'm going to keep this nice and short. I'm borderline offended, Jalen and Jacoby. Whoever made the list, y'all forgot Steve Harvey.
I don't believe that. That can't be true. That can't be true.
You know what I love about our callers? Like, we've been doing this so long and earned the equity of the audience and vice versa, that we don't just give them highlights. It ain't just Jalen all day with a fresh cut, clean suit. Like, you see bad days. You see Jacoby bad days. I like that now when they call, it's like leaving me a voicemail on my cell phone.
Yeah, they're like mad. He was mad at us.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah, I do too. It's like, they talk to us like friends. It's not like, yo, love the show, been listening to it. Really appreciate you guys. Like, no, like, none of that. He's like, how you going to do this about Steve Harvey? Y'all mad.
He's like, dog, I'm offended. You know, so he's like, dog, I'm offended.
Sorry. Sorry. Like,
we love that. We love that. And by the way, y'all know Steve Harvey is a mentor. He's also a friend of the show.
He's on the wall. I'm looking at him right now. He's on the wall with his arm around my shoulder.
Exactly.
Right on the wall.
He's one of the people, guys, that I was going to reach out to because he got range, because he's an elder statesman, to help us with stuff like this. And I'm almost sure, but Jacoby does a great job of letting y'all know. When we do a list, we don't have a researcher. We don't work hard. We don't prepare. This is freestyle. This is walking into the studio like, okay, who got the beat? Who writing the hook? Who writing the bike? We don't got nothing when we get into the studio.
No.
But I believe Steve was on there. But if he wasn't, he will be.
Yeah, if he wasn't, he will be. He will definitely be on there. And that's something that's important. And that's why we have these things, because we know our lists are incomplete. And we know we have help, but we need your help. So we got two more voicemails on a comedy bracket before we let you go. So let's listen to another one.
Hey, what's going on, Jalen and Jacoby? This is Joe calling back. Reg, you all right? One name I didn't hear was Joey Diaz. Super funny guy, dude. And also, I think you guys shouldn't necessarily think about who's the funniest, but also take into consideration who's had the biggest impact on comedy as a whole.
Thank you, Joe. I think that is a good point. Like, is it just who makes you laugh the most, or is it like legacy and impact?
Well, you know, when people look back at the history of sports or entertainment, they're always going to talk about those that were pillars in the sport or in comedy. So if we go that route, it would be all of the like major legends of comedy, but then that would eliminate who other people feel like is actually just as funny, if not funnier. For example, I don't believe Martin Lawrence, based on a fan vote, would win the comedy bracket that we're going to put together. However, to me, in my lifetime, he definitely like one of the like 3 to 5 funniest people that I've seen on stage, on TV, and consistently be funny for 20 years.
It's a good point. And also, it's so subjective. You know what I mean? Like, what makes you laugh doesn't make Gary laugh, might not make Sarah laugh. You know what I mean?
Correct.
It's very much a subjective, opinion-based thing. Like,
hit the brakes. I just thought about somebody that wasn't on there. Chris Tucker.
I don't think he was on there. I don't even think he was on there to be considered list.
Yeah, see, that's why we need the people. That's why we got, we're going to do this as a team. We're going to take our time. We're going to pull the resources properly. And once we come correct and put together the brackets, we're going to be ready to see who actually wins. But I do like looking at who made the biggest impact on comedy, but that's going to be the winner anyway.
And there's also something that's unearthed here that's obviously, like, I'm not breaking new ground, but there is this thing where it's like you become a great stand-up, Chris Tucker. And then you do a couple movies because you're so funny. And next thing you know, you're not doing stand-up anymore because why travel around the nation living out of hotels and doing comedy clubs when you can live in Hollywood, make 20 times as much money, and just do a movie every 2 years?
And get royalties.
And get royalties forever. You know, like the grind of a comedian, the actual work, it's real, real hard work. And then I think that once you get to a certain level of notoriety, you kind of switch and become an on-camera performer. Like, you know, so many of the people on our list have done it.
Exactly. Well said. You know, one of the hardest things in life to ever do is be funny when others expect you to. Yeah. So just going into that profession in itself, it is, and then it's like you mentioned, it's subjective of what certain people think that's going to actually be funny. Because you don't get to necessarily craft your audience.
Mm-hmm. We got time for one more voicemail on the comedy bracket. Let's listen.
Ricardo from Long Beach, LBC. I say Gary Owens, funny guy, great stand-up. Pretty sure Jacoby could relate a lot. His wife looks like Jaden. The gentleman looks like Jacoby. Gary Owens. Veteran,
Gary Owen is funny.
He is. I follow him on social too. I've been following him for a long time. I believe we're around the same age.
Yep, I think so. I think they made a show about his family. Yeah, they did.
Yeah, he is funny. He definitely deserved to be on there.
Yeah, he deserved to be on there. There's just so many. Like, you know what? Not everybody can get in the club. Sometimes the velvet rope just got closed and people can be left outside.
Yeah, that's capacity.
That is just kind of how it is. I want to thank Scary Terry Rozier for coming through. And I want to thank you, Jalen Rose, for taking the time each and every day to get the people what they want, which means we will be back tomorrow. Why is that, Jalen?
We're not done. We're not done. We are not done.